And rejoicing will keep us safe while we serve. How many know serving God ain't always easy? Joy will keep us safe as we fight. We got to fight the good fight of faith. Joy will keep us safe when we're hurting. Can I tell you this? If you only come to church when you're not hurting, you're going to miss half the year. Or you'll end up leaving in the middle of the service. Joy keeps us safe even when we'll suffer. There are those that are looking for a suffering-free Christianity. There is not one. Joy keeps us safe when we lose one thing after another. Joy keeps us safe when we're tired, weak, and feel like giving up because of the joy of the Lord in our strength. So I close this point by saying, don't lose sight of the dogs. Don't lose sight of the evil workers. Don't lose sight of the deadly, dangerous, deceptive doctrines. But even more importantly than that, make sure you don't lose sight of Jesus. Don't lose sight of Jesus. Second point, where I close. Warning number two. Man, I wanted to get rid of that minute. I pressed to the mark. It's like, God, Lord, can I preach it? Not this one. So I might have to throw that one out there on Wednesday night because I studied it. I hate for anything to go to waste. We're not even in Philippians on Wednesday night, but I might have to give it to him anyway. But warning number two, warning number one is beware of false teachers who peddle destructive doctrine. Warning number two, we beware of the examples you follow, the people you imitate, and the ministries you try to emulate. Beware of the examples you follow, the people you imitate, and the ministries you try to imitate. Look at what it says. Drop down, if you would, to verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, notice, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Stop there. Paul is saying that we need some examples to follow. And he said before, follow me as I follow Christ. So he said, make sure you're putting your eyes on some people. So a couple of things I want to say right there. The first one I want to say is that God has not called us to live the Christian life in isolation. God has not called us to live the Christian life all by ourselves. Christianity is not a solo assignment. It is a community project. We need one another. I got you. I'm going to help you. You said before, make me so mad. How else you going to learn to love your enemy? And let you have some. Come on, somebody. You don't know nothing about love until you got to love some difficult folk. Folk run and say, I got to get out of here. Them folk, God said, they not the problem. You the problem. You don't have enough love. How else can I help you grow in your love if you want to be around people that are likable so that you can love them? Then you don't need the fruit of the Spirit. But if you want the fruit of the Spirit, let me put you around some people that will require you to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of your flesh. You don't come to church to make your flesh happy. You come to church that you might experience the Word of God, so that you might walk in the Spirit of God, so that God might produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. One of my favorite preachers, Paul Tripp, talk about many Christians are into apple nailing. What is he talking about? Said, we don't have real fruit. We just stapling fruit on our tree. It looked like the real thing, but if you bite in it, it ain't nothing but rubber and plastic. We want the real thing, but we don't want to grow where he plants us so that he can produce. So we run here and we run there, saying they the problem. God said, no, I'm using them to fix the problem in you. I ain't saying that they don't have a problem, but their problem that is not the problem you need to be worried about. He said, I'm trying to bring you to the place where you, don't you know the Bible said that a merry heart like a medicine, and you can have a continual feast. We all know Psalm 1. You can be in a place that's barren, but God said, if you're the blessed man, then you're going to be just like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season. Leaf not wither, and whatever you do, he said, you can be in a barren time. Nobody around you that's lackable, but you bringing the fruit of, you still smiling, and you still got peace, and you still got contentment, not from your circumstances. So I need to close that little book there. So I need to say, Christianity is a community project. Iron sharpens iron. Can I get a witness? Oh, we need one another. Amen. And so we need to thank God for the church. Can I tell you right now that the church is not negotiable? It's not optional. You say, I don't like the church. Hold up. Are you saying you are? You don't like yourself? That's another problem. Oh, the church is an absolute necessity. Can I tell you this? The church is not an invention of men. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build what? So it is not optional. Thank God for the church. Amen. Thank God for the church. I'm not saying that the church is perfect, but I am saying that the founder of the church and the God of the church is a perfect God. Thank God for the saints. Thank God for the saints. I was thinking about Avenue. I don't know, Avenue, I forgot. A brother's house was in bad shape. Avenue and Mike came over. You remember my Avenue? Came into my house. Brother ain't had no money. Need some vinyl siding on my house. Them brothers showed up. Man. I said, God. See, I had not experienced brotherly love like that. But I learned what love was when I came to this church. Thank God for pastors who faithfully preach the word. Thank God for pastors who preach and faith follow. Isn't that what it says in Hebrew? They got life that follows that. Thank God for pastors that guard the flock and watch over your souls. Thank God for good, godly examples in the body of Christ. Amen? Thank God. But even though we need examples, can I tell you, you just can't be part of any church. Because every building that got church on the end of the name don't mean it's part of God's church. Can I get a witness? Well, not only that, you just can't listen to and imitate and follow the examples of any and everybody. And I'm sure Pastor Rick's like me. I'm all in for getting ideas. But just because they're doing it in the church down the street, around the corner, don't mean that it's biblical. You saying, but they're getting a lot of people. Hell is too. Our task is not to build the membership, our task is to build the body. The Lord knows those that are being saved. And so let me finish here. Let me finish. Look at what it says in verse 18. I think I'll end on verse 18 and 19. That's where I'll stop. Verse 18 says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I stopped there for first. Two words caught me. Three, really. He said, for many walk, whom I have told you often, and now tell you, here it is, the other one, weeping. Many, and they got me weeping. Why? Because now they don't walk like they used to. They have become, there it is, enemies of the cross of Christ. I didn't know what I signed up for when I got saved, and God knows. I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't know what I signed up for. I remember I told Pastor Man, God has called me to preach. I don't know. He said, when God gave you the red light, the green light, you're going to know it. And when God gave him the green light, I came back to him. I said, what do you do? He said, look, you go to the meeting, take out your little list, you know, and let them sign it. He left out some stuff. He left out a lot of stuff. And Brother Walter Jones, he got me. He said, Keith, Brother Keith. Everybody called me Brother Keith. Brother Keith, I'm praying for you. And he was crying. But he ain't let me in on. After about a couple of years, I knew what he was talking about. He said, for many, he said, let me tell you. If you cherish the cross, if you teach the cross, if you cling to the cross, if you love the old rugged cross, then you better well get ready, because there are going to be some folk that's going to break your heart, not just one time, not just twice, but many times. It's not going to just be one person, but many persons. They're going to break your heart and cause you to weep, first of all, because they no longer cherish the cross. Understand, we preach that people that don't know Christ gonna die and go to hell, but we don't preach it laughing. We preach it weeping. Because but by the grace of God, I thought I was safe. I thought I was on my way to heaven. Then I heard the gospel, and I recognized I was on my way to hell, but by the grace of God. Not by merit, but by grace through faith are you saved. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So you're going to weep because some people that you know and that you love and that you worship with and serve with have now become enemies of the cross. And if they are enemies of the cross and you cherish the cross, you're going to also weep. Not because of the path that they have taken only, now you're going to weep because they're going to make you cry. By the pain that they tried to inflict on you, by the things that they will say about you, and by the things that they tried to do to you, you're going to weep. Oh, so I pray. You better learn how to rejoice in the Lord so that when your heart is broken, you do not become bitter. I'm almost done. And so, scripture describes these people. What do they look like? What is it that they do? Oh, man, this could come right out of the front page of the papers today. Here it is, almost done. Verse 19. Whose end is destruction. Notice where Paul starts. Paul starts with their end. Paul tells us, those who are now enemies of the cross, first of all, their destination is not heaven. That's for us in verse 20. Our conversation is heaven. He said, these people, their destination is destruction. They think that the life and the road that they are on is leading to a life of truly living, but it is a pathway to destruction. Oh, hear me. Hear me, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter who they are, what their titles might be, or how many people are following them. If they are enemies of the cross, don't follow their example. Second one, whose God is their belly, who God is. They have a God, but it's not the true and the living God. Their God is their sinful, sensual, ungodly, impure appetites. They live not to please God, but to please themselves. Can I tell you that there are some people that go to church and it ain't to please God? There are some people that go to church only so that they can network. And so their God is their belly, impure, ungodly desires and appetite. Third one, and I'm about done. I'm going to take my seat. Look at what it says. Whose glory is their shame? Oh, man. They are so spiritually blind, morally confused, appetite-driven, satanically deceived, and fleshly controlled that they boast and brag and they are proud about degrading, deplorable, dehumanizing, sinful acts. Our world applauds those that come out of the closet. For a man or a woman to get married now and both go into their marriage as it's sexually pure as virgins, the world said, you must be a dinosaur. Listen. What happened in our world that now sexual purity has become a laughing matter, but sexually immorality is a badge of honor? Their glory. You go to work and they say, man, what you do the week? I got drunk as a skunk. A shame. Old folk, when I grew up in my neighborhood, they said, that's a crying shame. Last one, they set their minds on earthly things. They are not thinking about God. They are not thinking about heaven. They are not thinking about eternity. All they are doing is thinking about now, today, this moment. The pleasure I can get now, I let tomorrow take care of itself. You got to live in the moment. Well, Newberry, and I'm going to take my seat, but if you're going to keep on keeping on, two things that I just want you to know. Beware of false teachers that are plying deceitful doctrines. they will eclipse Jesus, and they will steal your joy, erode your faith, hinder your spiritual growth, and bring ruin to your soul. Avoid them. Make sure that Jesus always has supremacy in your life and that he is not eclipsed by anything. And second one, beware of the people you follow, the folk that you imitate, and the ministries that you emulate, because they might lead you on a path of ruin and destruction. New Berean, you got to keep on keeping on. Father, I just want to say thank you. And so how my heart has been refreshed.